Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Numbers 23. Numbers was written by a man named Moses. I'm sure you've heard of Moses. Important guy. And Moses was a curious fellow. Moses started out born a Jew. He was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh was like the king of Egypt, and he was not an Israelite. And Pharaoh was actually pretty rough on the Israelites. And so Moses' mother, in order to protect him, she put him in a basket, maybe you've heard this story, and sent him down the river. He didn't go very far down the river. He actually just went a little ways down the river. We know that because his sister followed to see where he would end up. And I think his mother was strategic in the way she did it, because Moses went right past Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter and the ladies that were with her would be down by the river. And in those days, they didn't have showers and baths. They would bathe in the river. And they were in the river, and here comes this basket with this infant, with this baby coming in. And so, like, what? I don't know how old she is, but say she was 20 years old. What 20-year-old woman isn't going to see an infant and go, oh? Moses' mom was smart. Because she sent him down the river right where the basket would go past Pharaoh's daughter. Not just some Egyptian's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter. The king's daughter. And the king's daughter finds the basket and she adopts Moses. And Moses grows up as the son of the king. And he grows up as an Egyptian. Growing up as an Egyptian was not really a godly situation. The Egyptians were not particularly godly people in those days anyway. They had their own separate gods. They were into idolatry and they were pretty rough on Israel. They enslaved Israel. And so Moses grows up as the grandson of the king, of Pharaoh. He has all these privileges. He's a high rank, high position. He's very powerful. But he's not a godly guy. But then something happens. Moses starts to identify with the Jews, and he's about 40 years old now. And he starts to identify with the Jews. And when he identifies with the Jews, it starts to bother him how Egypt is treating the Jews. And maybe you know the story. Moses sees an Egyptian boss, if you will. He's actually a guy over Israeli slaves. And he's beating an Israeli. And that was not uncommon. And he's beating this guy. And Moses gets angry because he's recognizing this man is one of my own people. And he's beating this guy. And he's got this young, somewhat immature sense about him. And he goes and he kills that Egyptian. And then the next day, he thought he did it in secret. But the next day he finds out that people saw him. And that scares him. And so he runs away. Which is kind of interesting because as the grandson of the king, he probably could have gotten away with it and nobody would have said anything. But he gets scared and he runs away and he's gone for 40 years. And he runs into the desert. And it's one of the most important times of Moses' life. Because in the desert, Moses starts to see God's faithfulness. And then God calls him when he's on Mount Sinai. And he sees one of the strangest things you can ever see. He sees a bush on fire that's not consumed. In other words, it's on fire, but it's not burned. God speaks to him. God is in that bush. And that bush catches fire, and God's in that bush. And he says, Moses. And he gives him a call. Now, Moses did some pretty amazing things. He was not a guy who was very confident. He had a speech problem, a stutter. He didn't want to follow God's call because he had this physical problem. And so God allowed him to get his brother's help to speak for him. But God wasn't happy about doing it that way. But God was kind to Moses. And some of the things that Moses did was pretty amazing. You've heard how Israel crossed through the Red Sea, I'm sure, right? You guys know that story. In other words, Moses says to Pharaoh, let the folks go. And Pharaoh says no. Why would he let him go? He's got a slave group of a few million people. That's economic. Like the money you get from these people is amazing. They have to work for free. You get all the money from it. The king was appreciating that. He didn't want to lose that. But God didn't want the king to keep it. And so God did some pretty amazing things to persuade Pharaoh. Pharaoh was kind of thick. He was not the sharpest blade in the drawer. And he kept saying, okay, I'll let him go. And then he backed off and God did something again. And kind of like, okay, Pharaoh, I'm going to let you have it. And finally, God killed a lot of Egyptians because they kept enslaving Israel and not listening to God. And Pharaoh finally relented. But then he changed his mind again after Israel leaves Egypt. And they get to the Red Sea and the Egyptian army is behind them. Now, I want you to think about this and tell me how much sense does this make. You got the Egyptian army behind you. You're Moses and Israel is following you. You're the leader of Israel. The Red Sea, which is huge and it's deep where they went over, is in front of you. So you're up against the shore. An army is behind you. And God says to you, hold out your staff. So you hold it out and the Red Sea parts. In other words, the water clears out, a wall of water on one side, a wall of water on another side. He makes the ground dry. It wasn't even muddy so that Israel could go through. Israel goes through. How much sense does this make? The Egyptians are watching this. They see that God made the ocean, essentially, it wasn't an ocean, it was a sea, but it's like the ocean, stop, open up, let these guys pass on dry ground. These incredibly high walls of water, about 1,200 feet high. Now consider that a football field is, what, 100 yards, 300 feet. So it's like four football fields high. They're going through. The Egyptians see this. And what occurs to the Egyptians? They don't say to themselves, we better back off here. All of a sudden, the sea has opened up and there's these 1,200 foot high walls of water. No, they think, you know what? Let's go in too. We're going to go after them. We're going to go in also. So what happens? Israel's already out. The Egyptian army's going in. God's not happy with the Egyptian army. And so they go in and the water comes crashing down. Wasn't that kind of dumb? Doesn't it seem like dumb to you? That was dumb in my opinion. I mean, if you were one of the Egyptians, I don't know. I think I'd be scratching my head and say, I'm not sure, Captain. I don't think I want to do this. But they're going in right after them. When they know that it's God who's bringing them out of there, and he's not happy with the Egyptians. After all, he just killed every one of your firstborn children. He's not happy with you, and you go in. They're thick. Here's the point of all this. In verse 19 of Numbers 23, imagine being Moses and God tells you, go in. This is why he could do it. Moses knew that God is not a man that he should lie. Now, if you had an army behind you and an ocean in front of you and God says to you, I'm going to part the ocean, would you believe it? I think a lot of people would be scratching their heads about that one. But Moses did believe it. Because he knew that God is not a man that he should lie. And he knew that he's not the son of a man that he should change his mind. And Moses said about God, has he said it and shall he not do it? Hello? Think about this. Did God say it and he's not going to do it? Are you crazy? And then he also said, has he spoken and will he not make it good? Hello? Here's the thing about it. One of the things we have to understand, and please understand this, young people, you need to know this. God will always do what He has said He'll do. Always. He's not someone who is able to lie. We always think God is able to do everything. Well, there's actually some things He's not able to do, and He cannot lie. He can't change who He is. He is God, and God can't lie. Because God defines truth. God's not a man that He should lie. He can't lie to you. The Word of God, and the Bible is the Word of God, is not capable of lying. So everything that God said, He'll do. Just like with Eve, in Genesis chapter 3, where Satan was talking to Eve, he was inside the serpent and he was talking to Eve, and he lied to her about God. And the lie was, God's not really telling the truth. It was Satan who was lying, because God can't lie. But Satan said to Eve, God's not telling the truth. And when that happened, when Eve started believing that maybe it would not be as God said it would, Eve started making some pretty devastating mistakes. And those mistakes were so serious that to this day, we still have their effects. It's really serious. You have to understand, and you have to be aware, if you don't want to make mistakes, that everything that God said will be as God said. Whatever God says, He'll do it. If God says something is a certain way, you can rest assured, no matter what you may think it looks like, no matter what you may understand, it's the way that God said it is. For the longest time, people could not find the city of Jericho. The Bible speaks about Jericho. I'm sure you've heard of Jericho. Jericho is an important place in history. But because it was so long ago, and Jericho was defeated and its walls fell down and the city was burned down, that the remnants of Jericho were covered up by dirt. Just like so many remnants are, right? And the archaeologists go out and they dig things back out. In the 1950s, archaeologists went to find Jericho. Because Israel was an important place at the time and Jericho was right in Israel. And they couldn't find it. And so people said, look, we can't find Jericho. Obviously, it wasn't there. Obviously, the Bible made a mistake. It's not as God had said. And then some young, bright archaeologist decides, hey, why don't we try looking for Jericho where the Bible said it was? Hello? So they moved their dig about a mile and a half away, because they were digging a mile and a half off the location where the Bible said it was. So they moved where they were digging by a mile and a half. And you know what they found? They found Jericho. They not only found Jericho, but the Bible says that the walls in Jericho, they were double walls. Those cities had walls around them back then. And a double wall is when you have an outer wall and an inner wall. And often they were connected. And they were so thick that people could actually dig out houses in them, apartments. And they could live in the wall. There's still some places in the world where people can live in the city walls. And people lived in these walls. That's how thick they were. And there were two of them, one right next to the other, and they went all around the city. And when the walls fell down in Jericho, because the Bible says that God knocked the walls down for Joshua. Joshua was the guy who took Moses' place. When the walls came down, they didn't crumble and just fall down. They fell over. So it was a wall falls and another wall falls on top of it, and that's the way they laid. And then the Israelis could just walk over the walls. When they found the walls, they found that they were knocked over. One on top of the other. As a matter of fact, what was left of Jericho was so well preserved, they still found petrified bread in ancient ovens. It was extremely well preserved. Jericho was exactly the way God described it in the Bible. But people, because they couldn't figure out where Jericho was, they thought, well, we don't understand, so Jericho must not be there. Here's the thing about that. Isaiah 55 says that the way God thinks is much higher than the way we think. He's much smarter than we are, and He knows a whole lot more. The smartest person on earth can't even begin to touch what God knows. If I don't understand something, it doesn't mean that it's not so. It just means I don't understand. When the Bible says something, it is correct. All throughout history, people were trying to say, no, the Bible's wrong. And in the end, the people were wrong and the Bible was correct. It's still like that today. You're going to be in situations, maybe even in school, where your teachers might say, the Bible is wrong. Your teacher is wrong. The Bible is correct. It's always been that way. God's not capable of telling you something that's not true. So if God said, this is the way it is, it's the way it is. And you can be completely confident that that's the way it is. Because He'll always do what He says, and He'll always tell you the truth. He can't lie. So you know that whatever God says, that's it right there. That's reality. You guys understand? Okay, good. That's it for today.